Blog Talk Radio.
I was eating junk. I had just had two children back to back.
I used to not be able to get on the ground.
I never, ever daily exercise.
Before, if I'd get down, I'd need a chair or something to help me get back up.
I was 84 pounds heavier at one time.
I was always a big dude, but I couldn't move around.
That all changed when they met Diamond Dallas Page.
I started doing yoga, man. I started doing a thing called DDP yoga. It's not your mama's yoga.
WCW heavyweight champion, known for his signature move, the Diamond Cutter.
Diamond Cutter!
Took what he learned recovering from an injury and years in the ring and created DDP yoga.
Working out combined with the eating habits, it was a huge difference. I felt so much better.
It's a lot of fun for me because I never used to be able to be active. Now I'm on the floor, I'm rolling around, it's pretty cool. More than importantly, I just want to be alive. I'm down about 110 pounds.
DDP yoga can work for anyone.
Bang!
DDP.
DDP.
Radio.
High five.
Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to a brand new episode of DDP Radio Live right here at ddpradio.com. As we do once in a while, we're doing a couple things on the fly here. Crystal just tried calling in, and she was very muffled to the point where I could barely understand her, so I am currently waiting for a call back in. But while we're waiting, I guess I will welcome you guys to the show. It's going to be another great show right here at DDP Radio. We got a great guest lined up for you tonight, and I know Crystal works very, very hard to make sure that I think Crystal's having a little bit of trouble calling in, so let me try. Let me see here. All right, well, I'm going to restart this show in just one second. I'm going to make sure that Crystal can get on here, and then we'll do a proper introduction. Please hold, and I will be right back with you. All right, we're going to take this right from the top. I think that might be what was going on. So, Crystal, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. You're still really, really muffled, but we'll try to see what we can do to improve it once the show gets on the air. So, all right, let's take this from the top. Hello, everybody. I'm going to skip my long and ridiculous intro because we're running out of time, but Crystal, you're a little bit muffled, but I'll see. I'll bring on our guest and see if she can hear you okay, and then we'll kind of figure it out as we go. But live radio, live TV, live entertainment, so you got to fix it on the fly. So without any further ado, Crystal, I'm going to have you introduce our Warrior of the Week, who has been patiently waiting on the lines for us here, and I'm going to leave that with you.
So this week we have the pleasure of talking with an amazing guest. Tonight's guest is certainly reminiscent of all the accolades. Tonight we welcome the amazing Tricky Penderfeet to the show. I've cried many times this week reading his story because he is offended in the sharing of it. It is a daunting task to stand face-to-face with the mountain before you. You get to a point in that journey when you were contemplating on just showing up and realize that you are actually starting to feel better and see a change. It doesn't happen overnight. Many days in the beginning of our journeys are what I refer to as blind faith days. You can do it because
my darling Crystal, I cannot understand a word you're saying, but it all sounded very sweet and kind.
She just dropped off the line there. I don't know what's going on with Crystal right now. I am so sorry.
Can you hear me okay, Mike?
I can hear you perfectly. I'm going to introduce you right here. And Ben, we'll take a minute to try to get our bearings together and see if we can get Crystal on board, and we'll go from there. But, ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, Christy Pendersweet. I keep wanting to say Pendergrass because of the singer, but I can't. Sorry about that. Thank you for joining us tonight. It's off to a rough start, but we're really excited to have you on and talk about your journey.
Oh, no problem at all. And just if you need me to wait, I can wait. And if you need me to talk, I can talk. I got you either way. Hopefully we're still connected. I think I hear Crystal somewhere deep, deep in the deep, dark space.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
It's
can
so
you hear
strange.
Me now?
There, whatever you did just fixed it. Well done.
Oh, gosh. I don't know what it is, but, you know, here I am. I had this really great intro written, and I
you know what? Go ahead and bust it out. I would love to hear it.
Yeah. Crystal, what I'm going to do is we'll add a couple, like 5 minutes to the end of the show if you guys can hang on, but I'm just going to start fresh from the beginning, and we'll start like the show's just starting, and then in post I'll edit it. Cut it off, and it'll sound like this never happened. Or maybe it's funnier if
great.
It did. But,
no
all
problem.
Right, here
no
we
problem
go.
At all.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of DDP Radio Live right here at ddpradio.com. Due to the magic of editing and audio, you probably don't realize the 10 minutes of a fiasco that just happened here on the air. But now that we've got things back on the track, or as back on track as we can get on the show, I'm going to just skip all my ridiculous, tiresome, over-the-top, overblown intro, and I'm going to hand it off to our lovely and talented co-host, Crystal Stewart, and she's going to introduce our DDPY Warrior of the Week here tonight. So, Crystal, if we can hear you, speak to us.
I'm screaming, but sure. I have the pleasure of crossing paths with some of the most amazing people. Tonight's guest is certainly reminiscent of that. Tonight we welcome the amazing Christy Pendersweet to the show. I've cried many times reading her story because she is authentic in the sharing of it. It is a daunting task to stand face to face with the mountain before you. You get to a point in that journey when you were concentrating on just showing up, and you realize that you are actually starting to feel better and see a change. It doesn't happen overnight. Many days in the beginning are what I refer to as blind faith days. You do it because even though you may not know where you are going, what you're doing, it feels foreign, but anything has to be better than what you have been resigning yourself to. The most commonly referred to and shared form of success in around here is the weight loss journey. And I don't know. It's just one of those things because everyone can see it, so we talk about it and we all understand it. The lesser known facts is the mental aspects in the ongoing conversation you are having with yourself. Success is measured in a million different ways, and all of them are very worthy of you. Please welcome this week's guest to the show, my friend, Christy Pendersweet.
Hello.
Hi, Christy.
Hello.
Hi. Can you guys hear me good?
I can hear you perfectly. Thank you for holding on.
I feel
on
like we're
us.
Doing a seance. It's wonderful.
Well,
fantastic.
We appreciate
that was
it.
So sweet. Thank you so much, Crystal. That was beautiful.
Oh,
yeah,
you're
Crystal's
welcome.
Really great putting in a lot of thought on those intros, and she does such a great job at articulating it. And we do appreciate you being here tonight. We do the Warrior of the Week here. And we get a lot of people who recommend people. They think they're peers that deserve recognition. And it's really cool to share stories like yours, especially on this show. And people listening tonight are going to be in for a hell of a treat because you've got an incredible comeback story. And we have one standard question we always start out with. And what is your origin story? Every superhero needs an origin story. What got you to the point where you decided to make that big life change and start DDPY?
Oh, my goodness. It was definitely quite an origin story. I kind of have two distinct chapters in my life before DDPY. You know, when I was 18, I went to New York. We were in choir, and I found out that I really loved Broadway, and I became a public relations person for Broadway actors, and that was kind of my jam. And I would go out to New York, and I would run around, and here I am, like a 19-year-old kid, running around New York City, probably in places I shouldn't have been, but fortunately back then people protected kids and they watched over me. And I had a lot of adult New Yorkers who were like, don't go here, don't go there, you crazy thing, we'll take care of you. And they protected me and I had no fear and I was running around everywhere. And over the course of, you know, the next, you know, few years or so, I was living out in Pennsylvania and I was having a great time. And I don't talk very much about the stuff that happened in between because, you know, that's a thing for therapy and maybe next time we'll get into it. But for now, we'll just shoot forward to that was the time before. And the time after was I had gained a lot of weight. I had really had a lot of struggles with depression and, you know, coping with different things. And one of the things that I say when you get to a very extremely high weight, everybody has a different reason for how they end up there, but we all end up in the same place. And we all find a point where it's like, okay, we have our crossroads of, is this what I want or am I going to make a change? And I was really in a place where it wasn't so much, do I need to make a change just to be healthier? It was, do I want to die or not? And I've always been a very uplifting sort of person. I've always been like, I'm okay. How's everybody else? I'm always okay. And that's great. But if you're not okay and it's inauthentic, you really end up kind of destroying yourself. And I think in today's day and age where we ask people how they are, we're expected to say fine. And if you say anything else, you're a burden. And one of the things I've been learning over the past 2 years is not only are you not a burden, but other people will find comfort in the fact that you let them comfort you. And I'm not saying that you get to a point where, you know, you're always looking to other people to do your work for you. But being open and being vulnerable and asking for help is the scariest and best thing you'll ever do. And I did that when I had a friend who, the way I talked about food, he was my best friend and he hadn't seen my face ever because I was terrified because I was so overweight and so unhealthy that if I let people see how bad things had gotten, I wouldn't be able to pretend I was fine anymore. And it would be very obvious that things weren't okay. And he was close enough to me that I said, you know, I really struggle with food. And the way I spoke, he thought I was anorexic because the way I was got to the point where I wasn't eating at all because I thought I had to do something to kind of save my life. And he would send me dinner and lunch. He'd say, hey, why don't we have lunch together? And he would have lunch sent to me because he wanted to make sure that I was eating, which was very kind, but not the problem. And I had to say, okay, how honest do I want to be here with where I am? Because I was, you know, I had moved home when I was living at home. And even at home, I would try, as I was gaining weight, to hide the fact that I was having trouble breathing, walking, and I couldn't breathe when I would move. And I was just trying so hard to seem normal. And I would go out to the kitchen and I would be making dinner. And then I got to the point where I couldn't stand to do the dishes. I had to sit. And then I got to the point where I couldn't stand to make my food. I had to sit. And so then I started just bringing a bag out to the kitchen to get food for the day so that I could go back to my room and not be seen. And nobody online knew that I was big because I thought if people knew how bad things were, I wouldn't have any friends anymore. And I would be just kind of rejected. And I just kind of existed entirely online because that was the one place that people would judge me by my personality and not, I could really, really hide. And I wasn't limited there because there was no place to not be able to walk or not be able to breathe or not be able to run. And so when I spoke to my friend, he showed me the Arthur Borman video. And he said, you know, you're not too far gone. And, you know, right around that time, I had another best friend who passed away. She had an asthma attack and she was my very best friend, and she was only, you know, in her 40s. And I grieved her for 2 years, and I thought, you know, I'm in the middle of this depression. My best friend has died. I'm isolated. I'm alone. I'm very heavy. I'm really getting sicker and sicker. And I apologize for the screaming people in the background. I'm in the middle of a college town, and a bunch of college kids live above me. So you might hear elephants occasionally, and that's what that is. I'm not in a murder house, I promise.
No problem.
Thank you. And so it was a very difficult time because it was kind of like, you know, we all talk about our rock bottom. Every month I was watching myself get sicker and sicker and sicker. And it was getting to the point where I was like, I don't know how many more months of this I'll have. And not because I would give up, but just my body was going to give out. And right around that time, the husband of my best friend, who was my other best friend, also passed away. And I was like, oh, boy. Okay. It's like, I didn't have anything left before. So this is the part where you go, okay, this is the real crossroads. Like, do you want to keep doing this and grieve again, and you're not going to make it out of it because it's just the way things are going, you're not going to make it? Or do you want to do something else? And so I really just kind of did a lot of thinking, and I thought of my friends, and I thought, what did they want for me? And they wanted me to be healthy, and they wanted me to be happy. Heather was my best friend, and she used to say, I'll go to the store for you, and I'll go shopping for you so that you don't have to walk if you can't breathe. And so I wanted to honor the thing that they wanted for me, and I figured the best way that I could honor them was to grant their wish for me to be healthy and happy, and so that I could honor their lives by saving my own. And so I decided to get a therapist, and I found one like on YouTube or something, and I called, and they immediately told me I was a people pleaser, and they were going to set me up with somebody I'd never met before, and I was just going to talk to whoever it was that they wanted me to talk to. And I got a real bad feeling in my stomach that this was not going to be helpful, and it was going to set me back even worse. And so as I was on YouTube looking for this therapist, I saw Dallas and Jake talking about wrestler things. And then at one point they mentioned their cameos. And here I'd been paying for DDPY for about 2 years and hadn't done a thing with it because I couldn't move, I couldn't do anything, and I was very discouraged. So I would try the easiest possible thing and not be able to do it and kind of give up. And when Dallas mentioned that a lot of people from DDPY got cameos from him, I thought, well, I could take this therapy money and I can, you know, talk to the person who runs this program, and if he will tell me that he believes in me, maybe that will give me the shot in the arm to find what I need, that little spark that's going to save my life, you know. And so I did, and I sent it to him. And at the time, I thought I was 600 pounds, so I told him, I said, you know, I'm 600 pounds, and I'm really running out of this steam, and I don't want to die alone in my bedroom at 43 years old. And he got back to me. And to this day, it's a joke between us that he came back, I'm the king of bada bing, diamond, you know, he came with his whole spiel that he does at the beginning of his cameos. And I thought, oh no, he's not going to take me seriously at all. And then he stopped and he said, but that's what I say to everybody. Your stuff was really personal. And he stopped and he suggested things like, watching The Resurrection of Jake the Snake, watching, you know, Relentless, and things that I could do that didn't require me to do anything physical because I didn't have the bandwidth to do anything physical. And just reaching out to him was, you know, pretty much all I had as far as emotional. Like, I was tapped, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, everything, I was tapped. And for him to reach back and, you know, give me such a wonderful cameo was amazing. But then he was also like, and here's the email address. I want you to send me an email. I'm going to call you. And he didn't call me. He actually had Paige call me first because he was respecting the fact that I was a girl. And he was like, I'm going to send a girl to talk to you. And so Paige and I talked. And then, you know, she said, let's have a thing where, you know, you, me, and Dallas sit down and we talk. And I said, okay. And I had not looked in another pair of eyes other than my mother and brothers for 5 years because I had been in the house for 5 years. I had never left. I couldn't leave because I was too heavy. And so to be on the phone with them, I told them this as well, that I used to throw up before every voice call, every video call. I was terrified to be seen, to be talking to people, to be admitting that I was not doing okay, because that was the last thing in the world I wanted to do. I wanted to always be okay. And that's the thing. Asking for help is so difficult. And I have so much respect for people who do it because I know how hard it is. And it is not, I think that asking for help is seen as a weakness, but I think it's the most strong thing you can do, because being able to accept your limitations and trust other people to hold you up is an amazing thing to be able to do. And I don't know where I found the ability to do it, but I'm so, so glad I did. And I'm kind of glad that it came from Dallas, because boy, does he have a lot of steam behind him when he talks. You know, he's got a lot of power, and when he believes in you, you know, it's a thing. It's not like, oh, well, maybe you can do it, you know, give it a try. It is like, you're going to do this. It's going to be amazing. And you're like, whoa. And that's what I needed. I need that nuclear level of encouragement, and that's what I got from both of them. It was amazing. And so it just became a thing where they, and God bless them both, the amount of time that I said no to them, and they, all they were trying to do was help me, but I was so afraid. And I had a mental block of, like, I just couldn't move. I couldn't speak. I couldn't, like, even to get on the DDPY community, like Facebook, like, that was a big deal, you know, anything to talk to anybody. So the fact that I'm here doing this is, like, hilarious to me, because it was not a thing.
it's incredible. And you know, you, for someone being so, you know, fearing the you know, confrontation or the communication, you tell your story in such an eloquent way, and it's beautiful. And, you know, I love where you're coming from. And, you know, a lot of people in the self-help and the therapy and all the stuff online, they mean well, but I've been to a point where I was 500 pounds, and they never give you advice that you can really take at that weight. They don't realize what it's like to be like, just exercising, starting to exercise, well, it's what I need, could kill me just from going out and doing that. And you don't have those resources when you're trying to do something like that. So for someone to be honest with you and go out and meet you where you're at and see you like that, it's such a powerful thing. And you've been through so much, and you've been through so much, you know, in your life. And you, the way you talked about it, I think, you know, instead of telling you you're powerless over your problems, someone giving you the pump up and tell you that you have the ability within you to do this, and this is how you can do it, that was enough to just really just turn things around for you. And it's incredible to hear you talk like that, because, you know, you, the person you are telling that story doesn't seem like the same person you're describing when telling the story.
No.
And it's incredible.
Not at all. Thank you very much. I'm very happy to not be that, because, you know, I felt like back then that I had let everybody down, because, you know, you get to that point, you just feel useless because you don't, I can't do anything. I can't, there's nothing I can do. And one of the things that Dal said to me was, you know, you can't let me down. You're not holding me up. And I was just like, oh, okay.
Wow.
And that was just like, okay, so there's no way I fail here. He's like, you know, he's just here to help. He's not going to cry himself to sleep if I mess it up. And I was like, okay, well, I don't have to pretend to be okay then. And I could just be honest. And there's such a freedom in finding a source to be honest. And like Paige would, and I wouldn't tell anybody that I was being helped by them, because I didn't want anybody to know. I wanted to be like, I really, really kept my privacy as much as possible, because I was so worried about sharing anything ever. And he's like, I want you to start recording things just for yourself. And so all of my previous videos were, hi, me. And because it was just to me. And then I would get like a couple of extra people and like were close to me. And I said, okay, I need this little, because my last name is actually Penzick, not Pendersweet, but I have this, the Pender Sweets is my weight loss Facebook, and it was, I took people who I was close enough to that I felt I could start to share, and I slowly was growing bravery to be like, hey, I'm doing this thing, that I'm trying to not die, and if you want to come support me, that'd be super cool. And slowly but surely would start bringing people from my life to this place of like, hey, this is like my little sanctuary, and, you know, this is really what's going on with me, and I trust you to be supportive. Because at the time, I remember Jake saying something in The Resurrection of Jake the Snake where he felt like he was like a baby bird and he could just be crushed. And I was like, I understand that so much. And so I did not need to be doing anything that was going to be scary, or because what I was doing was scary enough. And, you know, Dallas believed in me before I believed in me, because he had all these things he wanted to do. And all he heard from me was no. And I was so terrified of absolutely everything that they would suggest, and the patience that they had with me, because everything was a no. And I knew he was frustrated, not in because he was angry, but he wanted so much more for me than I wanted for myself. And, you know, he would ask me what my why was, and I'd be like, it's you guys. He's like, I can't be your why. You know, you have to be your why. You need to find, you know. And he was firm but loving, and Paige was firm but loving. And, you know, Paige and I would do workouts together. And, well, it was a workout for me. It was probably just sleeping for Paige. But, you know, she would, because she could do anything. She's a superwoman. But she would stand up with me, and she'd be like, check your heart rate. She's like, what's your heart rate? I'm like, 160. She's like, okay, we're sitting back down. You know, really watching out for me and protecting me and making sure I wasn't doing too much. And, you know, the things I could do, she was like, oh, you're so flexible when you bend to the side. You're going to be such an athlete. We just have to chip you out of there. And I'm like, this goddess is calling me an athlete. Like, what universe are we in? You know, the amount of love and appreciation and kindness that they showed me, to the point that Dallas had a therapist that he'd worked with other people for, like, you know, Buff Bagwell, you'd see the video with him, Rich Lee Nielsen. He said, you know what, I'd like you to talk to this therapist. And to this day, I talk to Rich every 2 weeks. And it has been as much, or if not more, you know, consequential than my weight loss, because you say that I don't sound like the same person. I'm not. I'm completely different because of the mental health aspect of it. And I really, truly believe that the mental health is what saves you, because your mind has to do things first, because your body's not going to follow. You're not going to work out. You're not going to eat right if your mind isn't in it. And so if you don't do that part first, you're not going to, you'll start eventually, you know, be able to do it for a time, but not forever. And the mental health is what helped me be able to go to, like, the DDPY community and, like, open up to people and put up little videos of my own and be like, hi, everybody. I'm, you know, just here trying to not die. Don't mind me. To being now where I go and I encourage other people. And I don't know if you know who Mark Raimondi is, but he's been doing DDPY for, like, 10 years, and he lost, like, 200 pounds, and he's just the fittest person in the world. And just he had put up his 1,500-day streak. And I was like, that's really cool. And I sent him a message, and I was like, on my own, little old me who's scared to talk to anybody, is talking to this person who's like all fit and buff. I've been like, congratulations on, you know, here I am to support you who's done. And that turned into one of the best friendships that I've ever had in my life. And to this day, I talk to him every day. And he's the person who, like, when I fall at 6 o'clock in the morning, that he's the person I call. But if I hadn't gotten into the DDPY community, I wouldn't have my best friend. And I lost my best friend and started DDPY and gained one by doing DDPY. So it's been a heck of a ride.
Oh.
I'm trying not to cry. I first want to say, I'm very proud of you, because I know when someone like me calls you and says, hey, guess what? I want you to be on the radio. And I know that it's such a shock to the system for a lot of people, but I'm so proud of you. I know what it's taken for you to get to this point. And this is why, you know, it's just the three of us sitting around a table talking.
Yeah.
I mean, the rest of the world doesn't really need to know about any of this. So, but I'm really proud of you. I did have one question with you that I really wanted to hear the answer. What would tell old Christy?
Ooh, that is a really good question. You know what? I think I'm getting the opportunity to do that now because I've been doing like the YouTube stuff the last half a year or so, which again is hilarious to me. But the reason I wanted to do it was because when you are 500 pounds, there you slowly lose the ability to care about your circumstance. You start to turn to stone. You're too big. You can't move. You can't breathe. And now you don't care. And a lot of people just die. And that was exactly where I was. And so now I've lost 230 pounds, and that's where we're at right now. And I still have another, 100 or so to lose. And I now get excited when people message me and say I'm 600 pounds, and I'm like, oh, you're going to be okay. That's what I would tell her.
You've lost the whole person, Christy.
Yeah. I always joke that, if I play football and somebody tackles me, I'm like, you won't hurt me. I've been carrying you my whole life. like that's
right.
Like that's no problem. But now I get so excited when I talk to people who are like, oh, gosh, I'm 450 pounds. And it's not like, oh, yeah, you're only 450. I was 490. No. Like, I'm like, you're going to be okay because I don't know how to work out. I don't know how to cut calories. I stink at keeping track of things. And somehow I did it anyway. And I will tell you this, it's not because, and I love Dallas and I love Paige, but one of the things was, is I knew I had to do it myself. And he would always say, give me the keys. And I'd say, I can't, I need to be able to drive on my own because I hadn't been. And so I went from a time where I was sending my food every day and I would talk to them every week to a point where I was like, I'm going to keep doing this, but I'm not going to talk to you guys as much because I have to learn to do this my own way and by myself. And they were so respectful of that. And every time I would post anything, you'd always see Paige and they're just like, good job. Just kind of very gently making sure that I knew I was cared about, but never getting, never pushing me too hard. And so I know everybody doesn't get a Dallas and not everybody gets a Paige, but they do have themselves and their choices. And that's what I learned. And so when I speak to past Christies, and that's what I'm doing now, that's why I made a YouTube channel, which I didn't do it because I wanted to be out front, because that's really the last thing I wanted to be. But I feel like I have a responsibility for past Christie to be like, okay, you remember when you went to find help and there wasn't any? Well, there's one now. And so that's why I'm sharing this whole thing with everybody, because I want them to know, I want them to know it's going to be okay. And
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. And what we're doing right now is Mark and I actually are doing a series on my channel called The Last 100 Pounds, because that's what I have to lose still. And some of it's going to be, getting skin cut off and reconstructed and all of that. But I want to show this part of the process because I want to be like, okay, this is where we started, and we're going to talk about everything. We're going to talk about where your brain needs to be, what your health needs to be, all the pitfalls that nobody talks about, so that when you're looking for a resource of how do I stop being 500 pounds, you don't feel completely alone, because I would look things up and it would say, please put in your real weight. And I'm like, that is my real weight. And okay, well, if that's your real weight, you need to talk to a doctor. I'm like, I can't go to a doctor because I can't walk. And you feel so helpless and you feel like there's really nowhere you can go. And when it comes to DDPY, I could do that workout. The Chair Force workouts, listening to other people on this show, I laughed because I was like, everybody's talking about workouts I've never heard of before because I can't do those workouts yet. I have a hip that needs to be replaced and that's fine. But I don't have the cool pictures of like the foot above the head. Someday I will, but right now I'm very much still recovering from almost dying and being in complete isolation, and that's a process. And it's okay to take your time and to take care of your brain. And so it's a very, very long way of answering your question. What I would say to past Christy is you're going to be okay. And I'm going to say that to every past Christy that's currently going through what I was going through, that you really are going to be okay, and you really do have the strength to save your life. You don't need a wrestler to come save you. You don't need a beautiful goddess to do workouts with you. You really can do it yourself. But ask for help, because I got help because I asked for it. Dallas wasn't going to magically know where I lived and be able to talk to me without me reaching out. And one day he said, you know what? I didn't come into your life. You came into mine. And so that's the only thing you need to do, is to be brave enough to ask for help and to have a day one. And just try to do one good thing every day, and you're going to be okay.
Oh, very, very well said. That's, I mean, years ago, I had gained a lot of weight afterwards, and I found myself, you know, trying to isolate and do that. And luckily, I got out of it quickly. But once you accept the isolation, I mean, that's a real dark place that you end up, because not only do people not able to help you, they don't know they need to help you. And then being online and existing online, you know, it's not my thing. I understand why people do it, but, you know, everyone's putting their best foot forward online. People, you know, everything's perfect in Facebook land or whatever it is. And so there's nobody to really know what's going on. And, you know, once you accept that and it gets really dark and you're continually trying to hide. So you're just isolating and keeping in that space. And it becomes almost, you know, an addiction or a safe space to just be in your space. And, you know, that's where the agoraphobia, you know, happens and people doing
absolutely.
That. And then it just becomes all the stuff on top of you that's keeping you from even being willing to try. Even if you want to, you're so now buried in your own, you know, stuff that you can't even go out to attempt to try. I mean, that's hard. How are you getting out of that? How are you doing, like, you know, are you the type of person that's wanting to, like, do more now that you've lost weight, or is it something you're still struggling with? You know, talk to me about that aspect of things, because it's a hard place to be, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. And the whole baby bird idea of, like, the tiniest bit, everybody has an opinion and everybody has a, you know, it's really difficult. You have to choose who you speak to really wisely, because it is, like, Dallas wanted me to be, you know, a little bit more public in the beginning, where I was talking to more people, you know, and I didn't even want to talk on the DDPY group, because I was like, if somebody says something mean to me, I'm going to be out for a month. I don't have the bandwidth to take that. And so, you know, okay, and so we would readjust the strategy and, you know, figure other ways out. But one thing I'll try and tell this quickly. But the thing that I did online is I played video games, because that was the one place I wasn't limited. I could go outside. I could see fake sunlight. I could run around and be strong. And I used to go to this game, and it was called Ion, and you got to be like a little angel. And I knew that there were people you could go fight in this game, and they were real people that you would talk to. And I was weaker than everybody else on the server. And I spent an entire year grinding and grinding and grinding to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And I had a little list in my head of all the people who were stronger than me, and it was everybody. And as I got stronger, the list got smaller, and people would come up and they'd try to fight me, and I'd be able to kill them. And I was like, oh, look at me, I'm strong. And I got to the point where I was as strong as I could be, and I was leading sieges of 300 people, me, who's dying in real life. But online, I could be this person who had assertiveness and strategy and all of these things. So I knew I had it in me to do. I just didn't have it physically, because I just, you know. So now I have a list in my head of things in real life that are stronger than me, and I'm ticking away at those boxes. And one of them was, you know, being able to walk. And I made a video of the first 8 steps I took unassisted, and I counted them. And I was so excited that I took those steps. And there was a day that I went out to the kitchen after I hadn't been to the kitchen in a year. And I went and I got a yogurt out of the fridge, and it was, and I, you know, came to Mark. I said, I have a yogurt. And he was like, great. And I was like, I got it from the kitchen. And he was like, what? Because I walked to the kitchen. And then the first day I went outside and I ticked that box off and I called Dallas and Paige. We FaceTimed and I had sunlight on my face for the first time in 5 years. And now I'm in an Airbnb complaining about college students because I'm living on my own since December, you know? So these are the things we are growing. And, you know, I'm going to be getting a hip surgery. Next week I'm going to be going to a new Airbnb that I'm going to be staying at. And then when that hip is fixed, hopefully I'll be able to move around enough that I'll be able to do some traveling. And I'm going to, you know, get the skin taken care of, and then I'm going to, you know, ride a dolphin and pet a tiger and go to Japan and see Norway. And I want to go do things. And I want to do it for myself, but also for the people who are exactly where I was, who need to know that you don't have to be special to save your life. You can just do it, and it is absolutely a possibility. And so now getting out and doing all of these things, I'm very slowly doing them, and I'm being measured, I'm being wise. I can take a lot more hits now as far as, like, confidence-wise because I have the tools, thank goodness, for Rich in therapy because that has been my saving grace. But I can take more hits now, but I'm still being measured and still being wise, going out into the world as I'm comfortable. And this next place I'm going to go has a mall near it, and I'm going to go to the mall, and I'm going to people watch, and I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but we're going to figure it out because there was a girl when she was 19 who went to New York and ran around to the point people were like, you're crazy, you need to be more safe. And now I'm a girl who's afraid to go to a mall. So somewhere we're going to meet in the middle and we're going to find the healthy version of Christy who goes wherever she wants because she's not afraid anymore.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. Christy, there's a thing I have downstairs in my dungeon, and it's something I reflect on all the time when things seem really, really hard. I don't even really know where I got the article to begin with, but I think it's like Japan or someplace like that. But they take their broken dishes and they mend them with gold. And it's that kind of stopped me in my tracks because I thought, whoa, wait a minute. I'm coming off of probably the hardest 5 years of my life. And I have been down more than I have been up. And I came across that when I booked you for the show for the first time. And I thought, whoa, I've seen that. And it has now made the forefront of my wall. But your story just reminds me of that. You know, we transition through so much. And, you know, a tiger has stripes because they've earned it, right?
Right.
Right. This is us, right?
It's a beautiful, that thing where they, when a pot breaks, they melt it. They don't, like, throw it away and start a new one. They take the broken pot and all the cracks
right?
that filled in with gold. And
right?
I love that. Because I spent so long trying to be okay to the point I was just lying and I wasn't okay. And I think that, and I'm not going to get into a whole, this is our society, but it's so scary to let people know you're not okay. And what I've learned through this is like, I had people who came to me who I said, I'm going through this thing and I'm trying not to die and I'm doing this. And they're like, oh my gosh, I've really been struggling. And it wasn't that they were trying to outdo my whatever. It was, I don't tell anybody about this either because I don't want to seem this way or that way. And
right.
now I'm my perfect version of myself doesn't worry about what people think and just says, okay, this is where I'm struggling. And this is, let me show you, you know, the amount of arm like skin that I have that I can jump out of a plane and probably be okay with, you know, I'll float because, you know, I have bat wings. I don't care. I love my bat wings. I love my body as crazy as it looks. Because she held together on me when I had given up on her, you know, and just being authentic and telling people exactly how you feel without having an angle, without trying to be dramatic, with just telling people where you're at and how you feel. And they don't have to do anything about it, but you're just being honest where you're at. And the freedom I've had in that has been so incredible. And the things that I worried about that, gosh, if people know I'm not okay or if people know that I'm fat, oh, my goodness, that is like the biggest cardinal thing. You know what? Nobody has been mean to me. Everybody has been supportive. I'm sure I'll run into somebody who has, you know, problems or whatever at some point. But that'll be okay, too, because anytime somebody's mean to you, it's just pain being expressed in a different way. I had people come up to me and say mean things, you know, when I was out in the world and I was big. But that's not your fault. And it's not theirs either, really. They're in pain and they don't know how to take care of themselves, so they lash out at other people. And I understand that that's a lot to, like, process and think about. Like, if you're listening to this and you're 500 pounds, it's so scary to put yourself out there. And I understand feeling like a baby bird. But you know the people in your heart that you know that you can trust, even if it's just one person. Don't be the only person who knows your story.
There's that famous quote from the Jake documentary, and I think it's so profound, is, you never underestimate the power someone can give you by believing in you. That's just my thought. You got to take it from there, and you got to believe in you. But having somebody there that is legitimately cheering you on, and not just blowing smoke, but actually believes in you, it's a very powerful thing. I got to ask you, because hearing your story, you know, you were talking about the hopelessness of it all and you know, basically waiting around to die. Do you remember much about the first time or the first few times that you caught yourself having hope again and what that was like after, you know, living an existence of hopelessness for a while?
Yeah, and it's terrible that it took something like losing both of my best friends. But I made a YouTube video. It sounds like such a sales pitch, but I did make a YouTube video about where do you start? Because it's not starting out with workouts. It's not starting out with nutrition. You really, really have to start from like the baby steps. And so I just started making a list of things that I would like to be able to do. And I took money out of the equation, you know, the ability out of the equation. And I just started writing down like the things about, you know, riding a dolphin and going to Japan. I may never go to Japan. That's a really long way to go to see cherry blossom, but the idea is really lovely. But I just started writing things down, like being able to be on a plane without a seatbelt extender, being able to be in a car and not have to pretend to be holding the seatbelt on in case there's a police officer nearby, to be able to actually connect it, you know, just little things, some big things. And I thought of my mind as kind of like a jungle, and I had a really well-worn path in hopelessness. There was practically a paved road there, but hopefulness was just behind all these brambles, and I had to take this machete out and just every day just try and cut away at it and start to make a new road and get my brain used to hoping. And so I made brand new social media accounts that nobody knew I was on. And I only followed things that were hopeful and that would make me laugh and things that there's no people that would get in my brain. It was all just going to be just so much hope. And I just gorged myself on hope. And to this day, I still do that. My Twitter presence, my Instagram presence, all the things I follow are like unlikely animal friends and inspiring speeches and good quotes. And there's never going to be something that pops across my screen that's negative, because it's going to be constantly just filling myself up with the things. Like, I know that there are good people in the world because I see it every day. And I know that there's goodness and happiness and hope. And I know that because I see it every day. I made sure what I was putting in front of my eyes and in my ears was going to be the thing that was going to carry me on to when I'm thinking about what I'm going to put in my mouth and how I feel about myself. And things aren't as bad as they seem, because I've read 100 things today that says it's going to be okay. And sometimes that's what you need to do. You don't hide your head from the world. You know, the world does exist, but you do have to really be vigilant and guard what you put in your eyes and ears. Don't doom scroll. Don't watch. If you can't handle negativity, don't watch the news. You know what? The world will continue to spin without you for a little bit. Go watch something nice instead. You know, take care of your brain.
I think that's a real problem with people in general. Like a lot of people is, I had to get off as much social media as I could. I have a Facebook account and I don't scroll. I don't read it. My wife got rid of all of hers last year. She's happier. She's more like productive. But we're in a world now where you pick up your phone in the morning and the first thing you see is 10 notifications of atrocities all over the world. And you don't have to turn a blind eye to it, but you also don't have to just be knee deep in it. And sometimes when you're in that, like you said, doom cycle, it's, you start to like enjoy the taste of being angry and you enjoy the smell of being miserable. And you sit in your own funk and you realize that you hate it, but now you've grown to just accept it and you don't, you've enjoyed the being where you are, and you start working hard. You start working to stay in that negativity. You like actively work to find things to make you upset or find things to make you angry. And it's just mentally exhausting. And once you get out and you breathe some fresh air and you realize, people online are, assholes sometimes, but there's actually decent people out in the real world. And you start to breathe a little bit and get out a little bit. And you realize the trap you kept yourself in, and it's ugly out there sometimes. And I don't have any problem with somebody just surrounding themselves with positivity. Yeah, negativity exists, but me being negative all the time isn't going to solve anything or help anything or myself.
It's very true. But you know what also, Mike, the idea of being online, they're miserable together. You're not alone. And so, we're all angry. Boy, we can be angry together. I'm not alone. I'm angry about this. This is stupid. Yeah, let's make a fun of this together, but we won't be alone.
Misery
and that's
loves company.
Misery loves company.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But it's not, it's not bad people. It's not jerks. It's, it's people in pain. And we're all in pain in different ways. And trying to find ways to soothe the pain in other people. And I mean, I have a thing where when I open my phone, I did it just now just to make the point. The first thing I see is progress is impossible without change. And those who cannot change their minds cannot change anything. And it's like, okay, thank you, phone. Thank you for letting me know. And I have a thing that it's just a motivational app that gives me quotes every time I open my phone. And I made sure, like, my Twitter thing, people are like, how do people get on Twitter and talk? I'm like, somehow mine is fine because I don't follow anybody. And so I only get the things that I like, and I, if you don't follow anything, you'd be surprised what comes across your door because it'll just be the stuff you're interested in. You really can have a social media presence and not be attacked with negativity. If you look for it, you'll find it. It's very, very easy to find. But if you go to wholesome places and you talk to the people there, you'll find wholesome people. And they are there. There are good people. It is difficult. And so having a place like the DDPY community was so instrumental in the beginning because I needed people who understood where I was at and would support me where I was at. But as I got stronger, I did branch out that maybe I could start being the person doing the encouraging rather than being the encouraged. And there's a time and a place for both. But being able to feel useful, I said this to Mark the other day, because Mark is, if you've ever seen Mark, he's like really strong, go-getter kind of guy. And just, but for him to ever ask me for something, in the beginning, I was like, wow, somebody like that needs something from me. I feel capable. I feel helpful. There's so much strength to be found in helping other people and finding the balance of asking for help and being helpful. It's so enriching to be able to do that. And so now I have people who, it still blows my mind when people are like, oh, you've inspired me. I'm like, oh my gosh, okay. Like I'm so glad. And like trying to like honor that because the thing I did is crazy, but I had to be in a really crazy place for the thing to happen. So it had to be that bad for it to get this good. And so I feel like there's a lesson in that. Like the worst things look in the beginning, the better they can look in the end. And that's why when people come to me now and they're like, I'm this weight and whatever, and I'm never going to be like, oh, you poor thing. I'm going to be like, great. You can still get out of this. You're still going to be okay. I promise. And thank God that I have the right to say it because I did it, not because I'm a magical unicorn of weight loss, but just because I'm a person who did it. And I can say, hey, we're on the exact same road. I'm just waiting to high five you at the end. That's all it is. You are not going to die. You are not hopeless. Don't give up because I can tell you I was right on the edge of death, and I was about as dysfunctional as they come. And I'm kind of okay. You know, I've been still working on it, but I'm kind of okay. So at least you can get to here, and this is acceptable. I like where I am now. I'm excited to be where I'm going to be, but I can at least be happy for you if you get here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're going to be such a great resource for people in this community because, you know, there's a lot of people in around here that have a lot of weight to lose or have a lot of changes to make in their life. And hearing somebody who's been physically perfect their whole life or a fitness model telling you it's going to be okay doesn't really do anything for me. But when I recognize somebody who's been, you know, near where I was or as bad in bad a shape as I was, and I see them living life happily, and I know that their story is not bullshit. Their story is not fraudulent. I've seen you and the progression of you. I think, man, if she can do it, I can do it. If he can do it, I can do it. That's such an important thing for somebody who's been that far. And I, you know, I've had that for people who when started before me, when there were three people doing this program. And then I've been that for somebody else, and they've been that to somebody else. And the progression of people who have just, you know, had some success here turning around and helping other people that's in similar situations. And why we do the show, I always say, we're people telling stories because there's a lot of people who will hear your story and may not identify with the whole thing, but there'll be parts of you they'll pick out and they're like, wow, she did that. I see myself in her here. I see myself in her here. And that is such a great resource for somebody to change their life in a way that showing them the perfect body, telling you what to do all the time, you know, this is how you do it. Well, you've never been where I am, but I can hear myself in you. I can hear myself in Crystal. And that inspires real positive change and hope, which is the fountain from which all change is birthed, I believe. Because without hope, there's nothing left.
You know, and when Dallas did the cameo, one of the things he did, he talked about Vance Hines, he talked about Justin Dobbins. And Justin, you know, he's lost 400 pounds. So he was bigger than I was when he started. And I was like, oh, and he's okay? And Justin, I love Justin. And now I've spoken with Justin. We're friends. So I know he's okay. But to have somebody who was worse, quote unquote, worse off than me, be okay. I was like, okay, so we're going to make it then. Like, this is something that actually can be done. And it can, you know, this isn't impossible. And so that's why, you know, that's the only reason I'm being public now is because I really, really want people to be okay. That's always been the thing I wanted. That's why I pretended to be okay for so long, so that I wouldn't be a burden to others, blah, blah, blah. But now I'm like, okay, let's all not be okay together, but figure it out together too. So like the people online who are all bummed out together, let's be the other side of that and be the people who are going to be healthy mentally, emotionally, physically, all of the things. And know that, like, we're all here to help each other. That's the only reason we're here. So, you know, we all have something. Everybody has, like, I always think of, like, humanity as, like, this tapestry, and everybody is their own color. And without them, we are lacking. And so every single person is so important. And so if we can find some way to just encourage everybody a little bit, and if you just are 1% of somebody's story and be a positive addition to it, that I just want to be somebody's 1%. That's all I want. That if I helped somebody 1%, that would be incredible.
I love that. And you know, it's such a great story. And to hear Dallas, you know, reaching out to you. And, you know, him and Paige are so fantastic. And I've never told this before, but Tori, I don't think. But, you know, a lot of people knew that I had a lot of success in DDPY. And about 7 or 8 years ago, I got really sick and I ballooned up. I gained 200 pounds in 1 year. And my thing was, I'm hiding. I'm keeping myself off of the line. Dallas saw a picture of me and my wife, Katie, at a comedy show, and he called me instantly, and it was Christmas Eve. He called me Christmas Eve, and I ignored it, and then he called me Christmas Eve again. I'm like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. I did something like, screwed something up. So I pick it up, and we had the longest conversation on Christmas Eve for over 2 hours, and just getting that out, just being able to come out and say, listen, this is where I'm at now, after hiding that for so long, that was the catalyst of me getting better. Just being able to show myself again. And I've spent so much time trying to hide and keep my problem away from everybody that just opening the door and letting people see me where I'm at gave me the ability to fix myself and get better again. And I did. And darkness is a hell of a, it'll hold you down, keeping yourself in and keeping yourself dark and hidden away from people. It becomes a curtain, but it also becomes a barricade. And what you need in your life is to let people in and tell people what's going on and show yourself where you're at, because then the true, you know, coming out of fixing things and helping yourself and letting people help you is possible.
Absolutely. You know, I'm going to ask you if this feels true for you, but I feel like, do you ever see the video of the dog that they have a screen door that it's open and he can walk in anytime he wants, but he doesn't know that the
yes.
door is open, so he just stands outside? That's what I felt like, that I thought that there was this barrier that I had to be hidden and I couldn't go outside. Nobody could know what was going on with me because of this X, Y, and Z. And then when I found out that there was no screen door there and I just walked through and everything was fine, of course we had our battles and we had to struggle our way through things, but it was nowhere near as scary as it was to be hiding. Is that how you felt?
It's absolutely. Nailed it. And,
yeah.
Well, they're going to kick us off here in a few minutes off of Blog Talks, but I want to wrap up. But I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming on, and thank you for you know, bearing with us through the messy first part of the show.
Thank you for bearing with me.
I want you to tell people where your YouTube videos are and your social media that you've been working on. I'd love for people to go check that out and see what you're doing and cheer you on.
Oh, thank you so much. It's at Pendersweets, PenderSweetz. So Pendersweets. And it's basically on all of my stuff. It's just that word is pretty much everywhere. And I'm pretty much everywhere. I'm still figuring it out. But I got YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff. And eventually we're going to be doing some really cool things. The Last 100 Pounds series is going to be coming out probably in May. And I'll be doing a podcast with Mark. And it's going to be a good time. And please reach out to me if you have questions. I may not be able to respond right away, but I am so interested to hear people's stories so that we can cover as much as possible to be encouraging. So please follow. Please come over. Not because I want a following, is because I want to see how many people we can encourage to not hide anymore, because nobody deserves that.
Oh, amazing.
Well
said. And Crystal, do you have anything else before we wrap up? We got 3 minutes before they boot us off.
I mean, I was looking so very forward to hearing your story and talking with you. And I'm walking away with so much. So thank you for sharing that, because, there's a lot of things that a lot of people are carrying that we just don't share with anyone else. And, you just made it a safe place to do that. And I'm so proud of you.
Thank you so much, and that means the world to me. If we make a safe place, that's really all I ever want to be. So that you hit on the head of what I'm trying to do, so thank you.
You're awesome.
Amazing.
Likewise.
And thank you so much. You know, I don't know you heard what you sounded like before. I've never talked to you before this, but I can hear that spark in your voice, and I can hear you smiling when you talk, and I think that's such an incredible – it's an incredible thing to see where you've come from and to see where you're at. And I'm rooting for you, and I hope you'll come back and give us an update sometime down the line.
I would love to.
Awesome.
Yay.
Thank you so much. Christy,
thank you so
much, buddy. What an amazing time. And thank you guys. And we always wrap this up with one thing. Crystal Stewart gives us a quote of the week and then inspires us into the next show. So Crystal, without any further ado, you want to give us the quote of the week and then we'll head on out.
Sure. So the quote this week is unknown, which means it's from Mike. So this week's quote was, when you come to the edge of the light you know and you are about to step off into the darkness of the unknown, faith is knowing one of two things will happen. There will be something solid to stand on, or you'll be taught how to fly.